morning comes from Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those belonging to the family of believers.
It is so good to see you this morning. What a great time we're having today. Thank you, Jason, for those wonderful songs. We appreciate it so much, how much we love God and how much we love the kingdom of God. If you would, I ask you to open your Bibles to the Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And this is such a wonderful part of the Word of God. If we start back up here at about verse 12 or 13, we'll see him, or maybe 11, we see where he's describing for us what happens before we become Christians. And then in 13, he tells us what has happened to us as Christians. And we'll start reading there, and then we'll make our application. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, and so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you who are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He goes on to tell us that this house is joined by God and is held together by Christ. And what a great passage of Scripture he gives us here. What he's telling us, if we go back to the beginning of our reading, is that because of the gospel is the good news that we know that God visited this planet, that he laid his life down for us so that we don't have to pay for our sins, that we can be rescued from the mess that we've made of our own life, that we don't have to be at war with ourselves or with anybody else anymore, and especially we don't have to be at war with God. He tells us in this gospel, and he paraphrases here or shortens it here, he tells us that because of Christ we're brought near to God. Since God has everything that we need, life, health, freedom, salvation, forgiveness, because he has everything we need, being close to him is absolutely essential. He brought us near to him by the blood of Christ. He made us in a position where we're no longer at war with God. We can actually call him our Father. We can actually pray to him and he hears us. We can actually enjoy his fellowship and he looks forward to ours. This is really good news. He tells us that we're not only at peace with God, we are united with God. We can get as close to God as we want. He is not very far away, and he wants to be even closer. He wants to have us close to him. This is when you're a little child and you wanted to be close to your father or your mother, or maybe sit in the lap of your parents. What a great thing this would be to be able to have that uninterrupted access and to be really close to God. And that's what he promises. That's what he says here. He tells us that we're also united with each other. You know what sin does? Sin separates us from everything that's good. If there's a divorce that happens, somebody's sin. If a business collapses, somebody sins. If friends aren't friends anymore, somebody sins. If a church is divided, somebody sin. If nations go to war against each other, it's because of sin. Sin is always doing that to us, and we're always being captive by it. But because of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus Christ, we not only, as wonderful as that is, be united with God, but we get the extra topping on the dessert, the extra gift of being at one with each other, of being united with other Christians. He said also that the difficulties that come about because we broke the law, the laws that stand against us, the charges that are filed in heaven against us, are canceled because of the cross. And grace is established. And in the place of getting what we deserve, we get what we need. And in the case, instead of getting the wrath of God, we get the mercy of God. And instead of being condemned, we now, in the Spirit, we live in a condition of no condemnation. This all happens through the cross. Those who are far off are brought near. And those who started off near are brought in. What a wonderful thing. That's it, but that's not all. Verse 19 is one that we usually stop when we're reading this because we've already got all of the wonderful blessings, we think. But he gives us one more blessing, and he's describing to us what we have right now in the church. Look at verse 19 again. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Here he's describing for us that we, when he says we're no longer strangers. Have you ever been someplace that you enjoyed being there? It was interesting to see, but you knew you didn't belong there. One time when I was a kid, we stopped in Taos, New Mexico, and we went to the Navajo Indian Reservation there. And for a small amount of money, I'm sure it was a small amount or we wouldn't have done it, we toured the Pueblo. We went into their houses and we saw where they sleep and we saw where they cook their food and we saw an old lady making a blanket and we saw all kinds of things. But we didn't belong there. We were tourists. We were there because we bought a ticket. And with that ticket, we were able to go in and stand in somebody else's house and observe them. Not even for a moment would we say that this makes us Navajos, that this makes us a part of this. We were strangers. We were sojourners. We were there, but we weren't there. Did you ever go to somebody else's family reunion? The chicken was good. The desserts were great, the stories were funny, but you knew, as one brother told me a while back, you were outside looking in. You didn't really belong there. That ends in the kingdom. He says you're not that anymore. You're not just studying about God, you know him. You're not just thinking about his greatness and glory, you call him Father. You're not just looking from afar like Abraham did as he followed God, knowing that there was a place for him. That place is here. And that's a glorious, wonderful thing that we have in the church, that we have in the fellowship of Christ. He says, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer tourists. You're no longer aliens, as we sometimes feel even in this world. But we are part of his family. He says, the second thing he tells us, we have a place. We're not strangers. We have a place with God and with each other. With God, we can call him Father. With God, he calls us his children. And because of our faith and his grace, our obedience and his wonderful glory, that mercy that he gives to us, we actually belong in his presence. We come together not just to eat and some bread and drink some grape juice. We come to fellowship with God, and we are invited to this meal because we belong here. After we grew up, Mother just lived to have us all at the house. And any kind of celebration or any kind of holiday, she would call you and she would say, are you coming home for Thanksgiving? And then she would say, your brothers will all be here. Now, we knew she told every one of us the same thing, because we had a place and we were supposed to be in that place. And so we were not only united with our mother and father, even if we were kind of distantly united, we were united with each other. We are no strangers anymore. As Christians, we are put into the family of God. The very first day of the church, the Bible tells us, and God added to the church those who are being saved. And we're a part of something, and it's a place where we belong. It's not because we bought a ticket. It's because we belong. He uses words like adoption. He uses words like children. He uses words like citizenship. He uses words like kingdom words. He uses words like bricks in a building joined together. You know that brick belongs right there. And it has to be there because every other brick is depending on it. And he tells us we have a place with God. Now, that's the main thing, of course, but also a place with each other. We are connected through Christ to one another. We call each other brother and sister. We do that not just because it's a nice thing to say, it's because it's the truth. We're part of the family of God. Sometimes we even sing that song that says that. Then he says, we're also citizens. We have citizenship. And this, when you talk about citizenship, you're talking about a declared legal right. It's, you know, somebody can be in a country and not be a citizen. They can even like the place and not be a citizen. But there's something that goes with being here because you belong here. He tells us in the kingdom of God, because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because you believed it and obeyed his conditions, you're made a citizen in his kingdom. That means that there are rights that go with that. The right to petition him, the right to pray. He even makes certain promises to Christians. Now, he loves everybody, but he tells Christians there'll be no temptation that's not common to man. You're never going to be tempted in some unique way that no one else has ever had. He promised you that there will be a way of escape with every temptation. He promises you as a Christian that if you can't escape it, if it's some grinding task that comes upon you, you can't endure it. He promises you that. Those are wonderful promises. He promises to his children, those people who are citizens in his kingdom, he promises us the peace that passes understanding. He promises to us wisdom if we ask for it. He promises to us joy and peace and holiness. He promises to us we'll be more than conquerors. He promises to us in the kingdom that the battle is already won. We just have to be faithful. He tells us right here that we're not only in a place where we belong, but we're connected with God and with each other. And we're also, as he makes this wonderful promise here, that we're citizens. And fellow citizens, when he says fellow citizens, what does he mean? Not only do I have a connection with God, but I have a connection with you, that we're in this thing together. If we were in a war and we were in the army, we would not only be a soldier standing our post, fighting an enemy or defending a ground or whatever else we're doing, we also have a definite connection with those people on either side of us. Those others that are there. And sometimes it comes down to that's all we can see because it's too loud and there's too much distraction for us to see our commander and to know. We know what the rules are. We hold on to our commands or what have been given to us, and we remember those on each side of us and we work together. He said, we are fellow citizens. This is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Satan wants you to believe that you're all by yourself. And he's bigger than you are. But he's not bigger than Christ. And he's actually not bigger than the body of Christ that you're a part of. You know that. It's promised right here. It's a glorious thing that he tells us here. And he also tells us another wonderful thing. When he talks about this ending of condemnation and the entering of grace, here he tells us that we are saints. Look at the next words. We are saints. We are saints, and that means that we're here by invitation. Now, we'd make that word saint to mean someone who never sins. That's not what it means. It means set apart. It means particular. It goes right with the words, where, as we talked about last week, when we're called out of the world, as God is looking for those who will serve His purpose. And when we answer His call, He sets us apart. We belong. Remember last week? We are kept. We're called. We're part of this chosen people. And there He calls us there, and He tells us this happens by invitation. So we show up for the party. We have the invitation right here. It came from God. He calls us saints. We don't think we're very much of a saint, but it's because of who invited us that makes it so important. And this is a wonderful thing because it means, look at the next thing, that we're members of the house of God, the household of God. We're members of His family. We belong in His family. We like other people. Our family's our family, right? God is the same thing. He loves everybody. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be part of His family, but not everybody answers the invitation. Not everybody says yes to Him. Not everybody seeks His fellowship. And to those who do, He calls us His children, and we are here as a part of the family of God. I want you to know something. I love this church. This is a grand place. This building is a nice building, but I love this church. This church is the family of God. And we look around and we see the things that are going on around here, and we just think, this is the most amazing thing. I love this church because we take God seriously. We are glad to be His children, and we want to give Him honor. From time to time, I'm with other preachers, and I enjoy being with other preachers. Mostly, I enjoy bragging on you. And they're sort of sick of hearing about it. But the truth is, this church honors God. We want God to get glory, and we do it together. We do it as His children. We do it like, you remember Gil Sanchez, you know, that does the wonderful work down in Mexico? I met his boy one time, and I said, I know your dad. No, your granddad. I know your granddad. I know him. And the little boy said, you do? And I said, yes, he's really a good guy. I'm going to tell you, that little boy stood up straight and he said, my grandfather is a great man. I love Gil even more because look at what happened there. When we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are we saying? He is great. And this church honors him. We do it by not arguing with his word. We do it by listening carefully to his word. We do it by following his word and obeying his commandments. We take God seriously, so we take his word seriously. We make it our aim to please him, like the Apostle Paul made it his aim. And that means that we work at conforming to his will. Some of us, I wonder if we're going to live long enough to finally get in line with him. But we're trying, and I love that. I love the fact that we're trying, don't you? I love the fact that we praise his name. I love the fact that we, when we worship, we come here to reorient our life, to get back in line with him, and come to the Father, but I also love it because we come together. I guess in some weird way we could all hide out someplace and have alone time, and that would be good, but we wouldn't get what we get when we come together to worship Him. When the church comes together, there's synergy here, there's glory here, there's love here, there's encouragement here, and sometimes there's discipline here, and that's a good thing. We come together. This summer is a good example of this church. We're like Joab in the battle that we studied this morning. He had to divide his troops because there was two armies pressing on him. And so that's what we do. There's people going to camps. There's people doing vacation Bible school. There's people doing work projects. I don't know how many camps, maybe four that we're involved in. I don't know. And then we have other kinds of good things. And that's just not only our children, but others are doing it. This week, we watched our children go away to Blue Haven. And some of us came back up here yesterday evening to watch our children. A couple of them I share DNA with, but most of them, yeah, they're mine by the fact that we're in this family. And I see them come back, and what do I find out? That three of our kids became Christians while they were gone. What a glorious thing. What a wonderful thing. We love it when our family gets bigger, don't we? We love it. We love the vacation Bible school. We love all of this. Good things that are going on because of this church. And they are evidence of the things that Paul told the church at Ephesus. Evidence of that. Now, when you have a big holiday or a big dinner and the family's all there, there's usually friends there too and neighbors there. And every time we get together, we have friends and neighbors and others that are here. We're so glad you're here. We love it that you're here. You know what we would really love is for you to be part of the family. Being family is what it's all about. And you're invited to participate in this gospel because there's no sane reason to be outside looking into the family of God. There's no reason to continue to live in darkness when you can live in light. There is no reason that you want to give to anybody. There's no reason that you want to continue to be slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe when you can be the children of God. There's no reason to stand outside looking in. There's no reason to be at somebody else's family reunion. This is the family of God, and you want to be part of it. You want to be part of it. Please be part of it. God's gospel is great, and the greatest thing about it is it's for everybody. God wants everyone to be His children. Don't you want to do that? Won't you come to Him while we stand and sing?